Well, your citizenship matters. The modern day Australia, that we know, consists of people from all over the world. It is an immigration country where most of its citizens were either migrants or descendants of migrants. So let me run this exercise with you. Can all those who are born overseas please raise your hand? That's a fair few. How about those parents who are born overseas? How about grandparents who are born overseas? There's a fair few. Many of us migrated to this beautiful country and called it our home. Or many have chosen to be a citizen of Australia, proud to be called an Aussie. Being an Aussie means that you accept, obey, and follow the laws of this country. And if you're in any trouble when you're out of the country, the Australian government will provide the assistance and protection you need. They got your back. So when you're facing trouble overseas, your Australian citizenship matters. Let me briefly recap on how God's people got to this point, this particular point in chapter 47 and 48. Well, right from the beginning of the book of Isaiah, God's people were rebellious and sinful. In the very second verse of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2, children have I reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. And in verse 4 of chapter 1, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquities, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They profaned God's word and did not keep his commandments. They did evil in God's sight. Instead of turning to God, they turned away from him, and they were heading down the path of self-destruction. Therefore, God being the loving Father that he is, he must discipline them for their sake. Well, God used Assyria to destroy the northern kingdom of Israel because they rejected the Davidic king, the king that God has chosen. Then because of the sinfulness of the kings of Judah, the southern kingdom, God raised up Babylon to destroy Jerusalem and the kingdom of Judah and exile his people into Babylon. His people must be punished because they are rebellious. They have forsaken him. They chase after and worship the dumb man-made idols of the world instead of worshiping the living God. That is why for the past few weeks we have been hearing about the deadly sin of idolatry. God reminded his people that only he and he alone can save, not the dead and dumb idols of the world. Though Babylon was used as his instrument, his rod to discipline his people, Babylon was sinful as well. But unlike his people whom God punished, disciplined, and will eventually save, Babylon will be completely destroyed. So this is what we find in Isaiah 47, the destruction of Babylon, poetically. Babylon here is being portrayed as a queen of kingdoms. And in her arrogance, this queen believes that she will rule forever. Isaiah 47, verse 7. She looks only to herself, and there's only three people that matters to her when she looks at herself in the mirror. Me, myself, and I. She does not acknowledge the existence of anyone or anything other than herself. She's proud of her wisdom and proud in her knowledge of astrology, stargazing. By studying the stars and how they move in the sky, she believed that she can predict the future. If that's the case now, the Bureau of Meteorology will be ruling the country. By studying how the stars move, it gives her the false sense of power that she can control her own destiny. And she has everything that is on offer under the sky. She has the wealth, she has the might of her own power, and the might of her armies. She has the knowledge of the stars, predicting the future, and she has the status. Babylon has it all. She is invincible. And with her false sense of invincibility, she does whatever she wants. There's no one to be accounted for. She treats God's people harshly and burdens them with hard labor, as we read in verse 6. I, that is the Lord, gave them, God's people, into the hands of the Babylon. But what did she do? She showed them no mercy. On the edge, she made their yoke exceedingly heavy. God's people are suffering in Babylon big time. And Babylon thinks she can get away with it. She feels confident in her own wickedness. She says in verse 10, no one sees me. But how stupid is Babylon to think that God does not see all that is happening to his people? You do not abuse someone and think you can get away scot-free. Not to mention that she is abusing who? God's children. Her foolish pride and arrogance did not stop there. She went a step further ahead by declaring herself twice in verse 8 of 47 and verse 10. I am, and there is none besides me. Well, that phrase, I am, and there is none beside me, she's by saying that she's directly challenging God's identical claim in Isaiah 45, verse 5, where God says, I am the Lord, and there's no other. Besides me, there is no God. Well, Babylon perverted God's claim and applied that onto herself, essentially declaring herself as a God. And that, my friends, is unforgivable. And so the message of Isaiah 47 is clear. God will have no mercy for Babylon, and she's about to suffer a complete change of faith. This queen, this royal queen of Babylon, she will not be sitting on her throne anymore, but she'll be thrown down and sit in the dust. The ruler will become a slave. The mother will lose her husband and her children. The sorcerers of the land, the witches and the wizards, will find their spells and magic powerless to save themselves. In short, Babylon's false sense of invincibility is a complete illusion. It's a mirage. She will be destroyed and God will have his revenge. So look at the end of chapter 47. No one will be spared. It ends with, there's no one to save you. They are doomed, very, very doomed. Now, while God's people is in captivity, they were abused, they were oppressed, yet they are still surrounded by the wealth and the grandeur of the Babylon city. The nation that prides herself to be powerful and rich and worship only themselves. And in God's people's hardship and despair, will they be tempted to forsake God? Well, definitely. They are tempted to forsake God and align themselves with Babylon. By becoming a citizen of Babylon, joining Babylon, they might just escape the hardship of being God's people in a foreign land. They can enjoy the wealth and the splendor and the power and the status that Babylon has to offer. However, in the very start of Isaiah 48, God reminds his people about their true citizenship. Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel, who came from the waters of Judah. He reminds them that although they are in Babylon, they are not Babylonians. They are not to behave like the people of the land. They are not to take up the Babylonian citizenship. The captives in Babylon are merely residents of one city, but they belong to another. They are the citizens of God's holy city, Jerusalem. Though these people belong to God's holy city, but how do they behave? They certainly claim to belong to God, but they are not living like how God's people ought to live. Even as they call on God, they continue to live in their sinful ways, and God knows that. In Isaiah 48, verse 4, because I know you are obstinate, I had to look that up, what that means. It means stubborn, like a mule. And your neck is an iron sinew, and your forehead brass. How thick-headed are they? And in verse 8, you have neither heard nor understood. For I knew that you would deal treacherously, and that from birth you were called a rebel. Stubborn, treacherous, rebellious. God's people's old sin lives on. Their punishment and their suffering, first by the Assyrians, then by the Babylonians, have taught them nothing. They did not learn from their suffering, and they did not repent from their sins. But God almost wanted to wipe out what is left of his people, wipe out the remnant. But for his glory's sake, he delayed his wrath. And for his name's sake, he held his hand. But why? These people are rebellious. They betray us. Because the world must know this, that it is he who is in charge, not Babylon. It is God who rules the world. And for that reason, he will persevere, regardless of how cruel and how rebellious his people will respond. Despite their sinful ways, God urges his people to listen to him. Leave Babylon. Leave and return to Jerusalem, where you truly belong. Well, friends, there's a big contrast between the city of Babylon and the city of Jerusalem. Because that's what it is. On one hand, Babylon is powerful, is rich, and it's a grand city to show for, with huge armies and wealth flowing in from every direction. On the other hand, Jerusalem was nothing more, a little bit more, maybe, than a forsaken ruin. Its walls broken down and its temple destroyed. Well, despite all that, Jerusalem is still the promised land. It is still the place God has chosen as the center of his kingdom on earth. That is why he calls his people, don't stay, head back home. Return to where you belong. For the captives that are exiled in Babylon, the city of Jerusalem became a symbol. It was to become something they looked and longed for rather than something they presently experience, what they can actually see right now. The holy city was to become the symbol of their future hope, God rescuing them from captivity, from slavery. The challenge of chapter 48, that although God's people are in Babylon, they should live constantly in the light of that hope that God is coming to rescue them. God will return. And you can read into another layer of that God is urging his people to leave their sinful ways behind. The sinful ways that only held them captives and only result in death and destruction. Leave that old way and return to God where there is peace and there's life. Well, as much as God showed his anger in this chapter, there's also a hint and a sense of sadness. And that brings us to the heart of the problem. The cause of all this suffering that the people are facing. And what's the cause of it? It is their own sin. They have forsaken God. Their sinfulness resulted in their failure to listen. God called them in chapter 48, "Listen to this, O house of Jacob. Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel. Come near and listen." And finally, the Lord said, "I am the Lord who teaches you. If only you had paid attention." You can just picture God as he says this, shaking his head with disappointment, when he said, "If only you have paid attention and listened to me." Like a father speaking to his children, God had again and again and again opened his heart to them. He has given them his law. He has spoken to them through his prophets. But have they listened? No, they have not. And they are still not listening. And because of this problem, their return to Jerusalem will not bring the fullness of the blessing they hope for. God cannot use these people to glorify himself. God's people will mess up the next chapter in the history, just like how they have messed up previously. That's why this chapter ends, "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." It is a tragic note to close this chapter, but it highlights how deadly sin is. When we fail to listen to God, it shuts us out from the peace of God. While God's people are chosen to be God's servant during Isaiah's time, they could not fulfill his purpose. Israel, the collective Israel, was called to serve as its witness in Isaiah 43, verse 10, and as a light to the Gentiles. Yet time and time again, Israel failed miserably. They were deaf, they were blind, and they were in desperate need for God's forgiveness. So a better servant is needed. A better servant is required. And this servant of the Lord is being hinted in chapter 48, verse 16. Now the Lord has sent me and his spirit. And more plainly in the subsequent chapter, chapter 49, this particular servant of the Lord, this Messiah, will faithfully and obediently complete all the work he has given to do. He is God's faithful and true witness to the world. And if you need a bit more hint, this servant of the Lord is none other than our Lord Jesus. The sins and the failures Isaiah described are prominent today, just as it is in his time. We only need to look into the mirror to find ourselves in Isaiah's stinging remarks. When we look in the mirror, it's only three people that matters: me, myself, and I. God is nowhere in the picture. If you're not the citizen of heaven, if you're still in your own Babylon, in your own comfortable life, then please let me urge you to leave it. Leave your comfortable sin, because you're on your way to destruction. So what needs to be done? Do we all just uproot, change our address to Jerusalem and head down there? Yes and no. We have to pray and seek forgiveness from God, who is the only one who can save you from death. And in John verse 18, verse 36, Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." The true Jerusalem that we must be a citizen of is not of this world. It is the place where Jesus is preparing for us. And that is the place that he will bring back when he returns. And as Christians, our citizenship is of the kingdom to come. It is of heaven. That is the destination we must set in our GPS of life. We must live as Christians. Well, God is the Lord of the universe, and his rightful place is in the center stage of your life and my life. If you put your children, your health, your career, your job, your wealth, your relationship, your status, your knowledge, they're all good things, they're all great things. But if they take the center stage of your life, and then God himself is pushed aside. And God do not like to be pushed aside, nor does he like to be taken for granted. All the hard work and time and effort in pursuing things, good things, no doubt, but they cannot and will not satisfy you. It's like chasing the new iPhone. Whenever you get a new one, there's a new, bigger, faster, with a bigger screen and maybe more cameras just around the corner. It is a hunger that never ceases and a thirst that will never quench. Like the Babylon it described in Isaiah 47, there's only one destination ahead if you are the citizens of this world, when God is pushed aside in your life. That is death and destruction. You cannot both serve both things. You cannot both serve the world and God. You cannot be a dual citizen in this matter. The challenge of Isaiah 48 for us is, as although we are living in this world that is increasingly hostile to God, we should live constantly in the light of the hope of Jesus' return and expecting him to come back any time. Do not follow what the world is after: wealth, health, power, knowledge, and status. Instead, follow Jesus. Feast upon his word. Pray for the Holy Spirit to work in you. Fully submit to his rule and obey his commandments. Put your trust in him on your good days, and even more so on your bad days. The trials and sufferings and the tribulations you face is God's way of refining you to be more and more like Jesus, so that, why? God himself will be glorified. So fix your eyes upon Jesus, and I promise you will find true satisfaction. 100% guaranteed. It will be costly, and you will be an exile. You will be an exile by your friends and your families who do not know him. But you will be free.